Saga Egmont presents The Horsey Marina Murders by Pauline Rowson, read by Colin Mace. Note to the listener. Please note, this book is set in the early 2000s, when technology was somewhat different. Chapter 1. Wednesday, the 17th of December, 7:45 p.m. The blue pulsating lights of the fire engines radiated out of the dense freezing fog like revolving spotlights on a stage as Sergeant Cantelli swung into the car park at Horsey Marina. Inspector Andy Horton shivered. A cold, clammy feeling fingered its way up his spine. He'd been to hundreds of fires in his career and had seen burnt and shriveled corpses before. This was no different, he told himself, yet instinctively he knew it was. The fog and smoke curled together like a snake and seemed to ooze their way inside the car, bringing with them the smell of danger and death. They clawed at his throat, making it hard for him to catch his breath. A premonition so strong that it was almost urging him to turn back and leave this to others, but it was too late for that. Cantelli was already drawing to a halt in front of the police vehicle straddling the fire engines. Beyond, somewhere on the pontoon, thought Horton, was a burning boat, and inside it, a charred corpse. He shuddered as Barney Cantelli said, "Quite a crowd, for a night cold enough to freeze the watsits off a brass monkey." Horton surveyed the spectators' gawping features. There were about 20 of them, but thankfully no journalists that he could spot. Though for a moment he thought he recognised a dark-haired woman in her mid-30s, dressed in a smart trouser suit and three-quarter-length raincoat. As their eyes connected, she stepped away from the crowd and hurried towards a car. He couldn't see which one because a middle-aged woman wearing a felt hat shaped like a flower pot pushed low over her forehead blocked his view. Cantelli said,
"You'd think they'd have better things to do with Christmas looming."
Christmas. Horton grasped at the thought like a drowning man clutching a lifebelt. Not because he liked the season, on the contrary, he hated it. But there was one bright spot in the festive calendar. He was going to spend Christmas Eve with his daughter, Emma. A whole day, and the first since his marital split in April. He half expected and dreaded that Catherine would have second thoughts by next Wednesday and deny him access. But his solicitor, Francis Greywell, said that Catherine couldn't change her mind. "You want to bet," he thought, stepping out of the car as P.C. Seaton came hurrying towards him.
"The boat's called Enterprise, sir," Seaton said excitedly. "You know, like the starship."
"I am acquainted with Star Trek," Horton replied, striding past the fire engines, noting that his curt tone didn't extinguish Seaton's grin. It seemed totally out of place in the circumstances. But Horton told himself that Seaton was young, keen, and ambitious, and he probably didn't have any hang-ups over seeing shriveled corpses. Of all the deaths Horton feared in his job, with the exception of children, the one caused by fire was his worst. It was that rictus smile, so grotesque, inhuman, and mocking, and the smell of roasted flesh, which was exactly reminiscent of fried bacon or roast pork. He wouldn't be able to look at that kind of meat, or be within sniffing distance of it for days, weeks even, without recalling what he was about to see here.
"The boat went up like the clappers," Seaton enthused. "The fire investigation officer called us because he thinks it's a suspicious death."
Horton drew up in front of the bridgehead. He could see the firefighters reeling in the hoses on the pontoon, but the boat, or what was left of it, was hidden by the thick fog. He hesitated and silently cursed himself for his foolish fears and uncharacteristic indecisiveness. Hoping he wasn't betraying what he was feeling, Horton glanced at Cantelli, who was chewing gum and frowning at the sight of the fire. Perhaps he should confide in the sergeant. Cantelli, with his more intuitive nature and half-Italian blood, would understand about premonitions. But what the devil could he confide? A feeling? It sounded crazy and weak. His new boss, DCI Lorraine Bliss, would put him on sick leave if she knew what he was thinking.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?